opportunity to speak to you all. You're welcome. If anyone is worshiping with us for the first time, may I just see you wave your hand? Okay, it is us. It is us. This morning, I just want to ask this question. How many of us came out on Friday night? Glory to God. Nice. Awesome. I had the opportunity to be blessed. I tell you, it was a blessed time in this house. If you didn't come, I'm asking of this because of the cantata. We had our cantata and the switching on of lights in this place. And it is the beginning of our Christmas celebration, you know. And I had the opportunity to be blessed. Coming out was a blessing for me because we had such a beautiful evening and a night to be blessed by all the ministries that served in this place. Our ushers blessed us. Our music ministry blessed us. Our media ministry blessed us. I tell you, the night was a blessing. If you didn't come, you missed out. You missed out. But you know what? Glory to God, we have such a good and a loving, dedicated media ministry that did a live recording of it, and it's on our Facebook website. So please go there and look at it if you didn't come, and have the opportunity to also be blessed, you see. And standing here this morning, I also want to take this opportunity to really, really do say a big thank you to all of you that volunteered, that got involved in making sure our cantata was a blessing. God bless you all. God bless you. Shall we clap them? Shall we please clap them? God bless you. Every person that was involved on whatever level, may the Almighty Lord bless you. I know if I start mentioning names, we won't go home. There is a lot of people, everybody. Even I played my part. So, I don't want to start, but you know yourself, we all know, God bless you. And let me tell you, congregational members that know all the people, the singers, our media ministry, our music ministry, our ushering ministry, appreciate them. You know, after service, don't just walk out. Go to them and let them know how much we appreciate them. We thank God so much for the way the evening went. It was a blessing. I had the opportunity to be blessed. And I want to thank all the ministry leaders that got themselves involved in this and made sure it came to pass as the Lord had apportioned it to be. May God bless you. All right? God bless you so much. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. I also have in my hand here our daily devotional, the word for you today. This is going forward. This is going to be a book that we will be giving to everybody here in this house. It is a devotional book that covers 3 months period. It has started already in December. There are copies at the back. Brother Ed, would you wave? If you please do turn yourself and just look at where he's standing. There are copies over there. It is free from West Hudson Christian Center. Do get copies and it will help you in your daily devotion. Since I've been around here, I've been encouraging us to start a devotional lifestyle. And so we, the leadership of this ministry, want to bless you. And it is our desire that we all grow. Because coming next year, we are not going to be these Christians that sit here saying, we are rebuilding. No. Coming next year, we have to fulfill the Great Commission. And so, start allowing yourself for God to bless you. Take copies of it. It is free. Take it home. And it is on a daily basis. You can follow it. And you will have a good, steady plan for your Bible reading and having a word in season on a daily basis and for your prayer as well. I am around if you need help with understanding how it works. I'm here. Any of the ministry leaders here can also help you understand this. God bless you so much. All right. And so we're going to go straight into our word for today. Our children are going to be dismissed at this moment. Can we pray with our children before they leave? Can we pray with our children before they leave? Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise for the children you've given in this house. And Lord God, we commit them into your hands even as they go to their classes. We pray that you will bless them. You will increase them. You will help them to connect with their teachers. We thank you for their teachers. We pray that their anointing will flow and that whatever they teach our children today will grow and bear fruit in the life of our children. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So children from the ages of 3, right? 4, 5. Okay. Children from the ages of 5 all the way to 10. No, I mean, where do our children, from what age? But what age does all the children go? What age do the children start? 5. So today, 4 is not going anywhere. Oh, okay. From ages 5, upstairs or downstairs? Okay, all the children from ages 5, you're going upstairs. Your teachers are at the back. They will lead you. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Awesome. Aren't our children awesome? I like the way they look, the dressings, oh my days. Parents, you're doing well with your fashion with the children, you know. God bless you. God bless you. We thank God. We thank God. Awesome. At this moment, I'll call on our dear brother Kevin. He's going to come and read the passage for us. You know, we are doing a four-week series on The Savior is Born. The Savior is Born series. Last week, we did look at the prophetic truths about the birth of the Savior. Today, we are going to look at the messenger and his messages, focusing on the announcement of two important people, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And so Brother Kevin will come and read the passage for us. Thank you so much. Sorry, we are looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 down to 20.
Good morning, church. If you're able, please stand while we read the word. I'll be reading from the King James Version. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well now stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense into the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and I shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Where shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel, answering, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee, and to show you these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou hast not believed my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
Shall we pray, please? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus you gave us. We thank you for your message, which is to us. This morning, we yield to you. We open up to you. And Spirit of our living God, we pray that you will speak to us. Lord, I pray that you will touch me. Give me clarity of heart, thought, vision, and purpose, that I may minister your word as you wish it to be. And may your children receive your message that you have for all of us, that we may go and live the life you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Shall we please sit in the presence of our Lord? And so, as you see in this passage, an angel comes to proclaim the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is an important figure in the message concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist plays an important role in the message that we have today, the good news being Jesus Christ coming on this earth as the Son of God, dying, being buried, resurrected, and ascended to sitting on the right hand side of the Father in heaven, making intercession on behalf of me and you, that through him we might come into a relationship with God. John plays an important role in this matter. And if you bear with me, come with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 3. Last week, we did talk about the prophetic truths about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we did see why it was important for the prophecies to be made, because Jesus was supposed to come and die for us. And prophets played a part in this. And we ended by saying that God indeed holds on to his word. Every word, every promise that he has given us comes to pass. And we saw from the passages how his word was fulfilled. For through men, he used men to prophesy. Now the time has come for the Savior to be born. And the Savior being born, it meant that there were other things that were said concerning the Savior that also had to be done. And so when you look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, this is the Lord speaking. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says Lord of hosts." God said that there was going to be somebody who would come ahead of the Messiah, ahead of the Savior, who would come and prepare the way for the Messiah. And this messenger will bring news. And I'm speaking on the messenger and his message. A great messenger had to now come to release, to announce and to proclaim the birth of John. John being the person who has been announced to be coming, who has been prophesied to be coming to make a way, to pave a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word of God says from Luke 5 that there was in the days of Herod. It's a period of time when Herod, who is a king, there was a time that Herod ruled the whole of Israel, who was a very great king. His name was actually Herod the Great. And this Herod the Great was also a wicked king. Very wicked king, to the extent that he killed his own family members. When he was made the king, he, out of fear and being unstable, he killed everyone that could be in contention for the throne. This is the kind of person we are talking about. And the writer felt it necessary to tell us that it was during the period of Herod. You will see going forward that this Herod also killed so many children in an attempt to hinder the birth or the existence of the Messiah. This king is a dangerous king. One thing that is known of him is his great architectural work. He built great mansions and great buildings. And it is worth mentioning of him that. But also that the writer mentions Zachariah and Elizabeth. Zachariah and Elizabeth lived according to Zachariah was a prince, and his priesthood was according to the Abijah priesthood. But him and his wife were faithful servants of God. The writer says that Zachariah and his wife, who were righteous and obedient, yet stigmatized with barrenness. They did not have a child. These were old people who had committed their entire life to serving God, and yet still they did not have children of their own. That didn't still stop them from worshiping God. You see, their life and their commitment and their way that they lived for God has to be an example to you and I, that we worship God regardless. We follow this God regardless. Can you imagine a priest, old age, that doesn't have a child? Him and his wife had devoted their entire life to worshiping God, and yet still barren. But that didn't stop them. I want to use this to encourage you and I, that whatever is going on in our personal life, whatever challenges we are going through, whatever discomfort we are going through, whatever prayer we are praying to God that hasn't been answered, should not stop us from still continuing to be faithful and worshiping and honoring this supreme God that we worship. This supreme God that we worship. And so when you look at Chapter 1, 8 to 10, Zacharias was so committed, and he had work to be done in the temple. The word of God says that according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to him to burn the incense in the temple. Let me say this. It wasn't like, oh, he was the only priest at that time. Historians tell us that by the time that Jesus was born, there were about 20,000 priests. And so the priesthood body had a system of casting lots in order to appoint people who would be carrying on the regular duties in the temple. And so it fell on him at that point that he would go and burn the incense in the Holy of Holies. In a lifetime of a priest, imagine more than 20,000 priests. So this could actually be a once in a lifetime experience for every priest. And it might actually be what some priests really hoped and looked forward to. And so this falls on Zacharias. And Zacharias holds to this responsibility he accepts it, and he goes ahead to go and do his duty. And the word of God says that he was burning the incense. He did that. And while he went into the temple to burn the incense, into the Holy of Holies, where it was believed that God's presence was, while he was there doing this, the people were also praying. It was a moment in which, in the history of the Israelites, they see it as a time that intercession is being made for them. And while the priest is in there making intercession, they also prayed. They prayed and they prayed. This is something that us as children of God can also learn from this message. Praying is not only for the pastor. Praying is not only for prayer ministry team members. No. Praying is not only for ministry leaders. No. Praying is not only for the pastor's wife or the pastor's children. No. Prayer has to be corporate. You need to pray and I need to pray. And as we pray together, God moves in the midst of the prayers of his people. God expects you to pray and God expects me to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And so when we come here and we are praying, you don't sit and spectate. Look at who is praying and who is not praying. Observe who is doing good and who is no. You want to also come and connect with God. These people were connecting with God while Zacharias was in there burning the incense and praying. They were also praying. They weren't going to wait for the priest to do the prayer for them, but they were also going to pray themselves. And that also brings us and reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. He has brought us into this place of being able to have this access to God and talk to him directly. During that time, it was believed that the priest will make the intercession. But in this case, Jesus dying and resurrecting, me and you both have access to God. So never stop praying. Never leave the responsibility of praying to somebody for you. Pray, no matter what. Even if you can't open your mouth, you can use your mind. You can use your heart. God knows the heart of his people. So pray. It doesn't matter how you choose to pray. You see, when it comes to prayer, everybody does it differently. You might choose to kneel. Somebody might choose to sit. Somebody might choose to stand. Somebody might choose to hang. However you choose to pray, choose it. But the important thing is this: pray. Prayer is communication with God, talking to God. And you see, the talking, I said what? Communication with God. It shouldn't only be you always telling God, but God also telling you something. Children of God must learn to listen to God in prayer. We have a lot to tell God, but we are not willing to listen to him. We are not willing to hear what he's got to say. But what the writer says is that while Zacharias was doing this and praying and burning the incense, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Do not be afraid. You see, this is the messenger I am talking about. The messenger is the angel. You see, prophets who have been human beings have contributed to proclaiming that the Savior will come. Now the time has come for the Savior to come, and God didn't leave that to any human being to come and announce it, but who? An angel. He makes it clear that this is very important. I don't need a human being to handle this part for me. I need an angel, not just any kind of angel, but an archangel, an angel that carries authority and power to go and announce the birth of these two people. Today we are looking at the first announcement. His first message was that there was going to be John. And you will, he said that do not be afraid. He first blessed Zachariah and he said, for your prayer is heard. You see, for your prayer is heard, he's not talking about the prayer that Zachariah was praying at that moment. At that moment, Zacharias might not be praying for a son. No, he was there on behalf of the whole nation, making intercession for the nation. But the many years of prayer, the angel says, your prayer has been heard concerning a son. And he says that your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and your son, you shall call him John. and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of God. He will be great in the sight of God. That is the message that the messenger had to bring. He will be great in the sight of God. An angel had to bring the message. Zacharias saw him. Your prayer is heard. God hears us, let me tell you. Whatever you are praying about, I want you to know God hears. Never think God is not listening to you. If the answer has not come, don't think he has not heard. This God is closer to us. The word of God says that he's closer to us even than the clothes that we wear. He knows the number of hair. You see how I'm bald. God still knows the number of hair in this skull that is supposed to come out. That's how much God knows you. Even before you pray, God knows your heart. He knows what you are looking for. He hears you and he answers his people. He moves and he talks to his people. And so whatever it is, don't think God is not hearing or listening and give up. Keep on talking to him. You shall call his name John. The boy was going to be called John. God commanded that the boy be called John. His son will be great in the sight of the Lord and will drink neither wine nor strong drink. You see, this is the according to the order of Nazarene. You know, when you are going to be a Nazarite, when you read Numbers chapter 6, and an example is God came, you remember Samson's situation. Samson's parents were told not to give him any alcohol, and he was supposed to be one that was separated only unto God for God's purpose. But Samson himself couldn't hold on to this. He got into drinking, and look at what alcohol did to him. But in the case of John the Baptist, he was also supposed not to be exposed to anything like that because the Holy Spirit was going to fill him up. You see, there's something here that I want to point out. He says that great in the sight of the Lord. You see, greatness is not based on how I define greatness. Greatness is not based on how the English dictionary defines greatness. Greatness is not based on how anyone here defines greatness, or even our president, Trump, defines greatness. Greatness is based on how God defines it. He says that in the sight of God. You might hear the story of John and might think, oh, he wasn't great. He was living in a desert. He was wearing all sorts of things. No. But to God, he was a great being. You see, all of us here, however it is, we are on this earth for a purpose. God had given us all purposes. And no matter what it is, whether we are the cleaner here, whether we are the whatever, whether we are the pastor, whether we are not anything in the church or whatever it is, you see, God has a great assignment for you and I. He has a purpose for you and I. And whatever small it is great. It is great. You see, God sees service to him as being great. That's why Jesus said, he that wants to be the greatest among you must learn to serve. If you are serving God, regardless of whatever service is, whatever responsibility he has given you, as long as you focus to doing this gloriously to him, you are great in his eyes. And so the question here is, am I great in the eye of God? Who is telling me I'm great and who is telling me I'm not great? Did Pastor Ban say I am great? Or did my mother tell me I am great? Look, don't walk around, some of us, blame our parents for the way they raised us. The opportunities they did not create for us. That we have so many excuses blaming people. But in this situation, I want to tell you that do not go according to what people have said about you. But always ask yourself, how does God see me? How does God see me? How does God? Matthew 11:11 reminds us that by God's grace, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All of us, even the least of us in the kingdom of heaven, we are greater. We are greater. Never forget that. And so you have to walk confidently in this, boldly in this, that no matter what, you please God. You please God. And he said, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Do you see that, right? The angel, the messenger said, even from his mother's womb. Even. And when you study Calvin's writings, Calvin says on this subject, I quote him, let us learn by this example that from the earliest infancy to the least old age, the operation of the Holy Spirit in man is free. You see, God's Spirit is at work even in the life of the children. That's why you as parents, me and you here, we need to be careful how we raise our children and what we expose them to and things like that. You see, the messenger is saying, do not expose him to harm and evil, for the Spirit of God is going to be upon him. So the children too, as they are growing, the Spirit of God is working upon them. And so as they grow, if they are exposed to evil and uncleanliness, suddenly as they get to a certain point, the Spirit that is supposed to be in control of their life, they are, because of their environment and their upbringings, start to operate and behave in a certain way that does not honor God. And so then hinders the move of the Holy Spirit in their life. But child of God, remember this. The children and I are equally important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, mother, pray for your child. Pray for your child. Pray for, I tell you, grown-ups here, I had the opportunity, the environment I grew up in, people never cursed us. Even when they were going to say something naughty or stupid about us, they said, you are blessed. You are blessed. Never curse a child. Never use your mouth to say anything bad about somebody. Allow the Spirit of God to have his way with children. Pray for the children. Bless them. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. Encourage them to grow in the fear and the love of God. Whether your child or not your child. Even in our community, in the schools, whatever you go. Parents, pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. The messenger had a message. And the message was that even a child was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to believe that your child can be filled with the Holy Spirit too and be used even from childhood to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Somebody had to come ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ to turn the hearts of the children to their Lord. And when you read Malachi 4, 5 to 6, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And the angel, the messenger, also told Zechariah a message that this one is going to walk in the anointing of Elijah. The boldness and the confidence that was on Elijah, God using to bring spiritual reformation to the whole nation of Israel when they were not living for God. The same way this one was going to be the one that would turn the hearts of the people to their Lord. Before the Lord comes, this one is going to be walking around. He's going to walk in boldness and confidence, spreading the good news of the Lord, the need for the Savior, and making and pointing to the Savior. children of God, this Holy Spirit that was on this young man, according to the word of God, says that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Spirit. And the word of God says that the Spirit comes to empower us and strengthens us. Children of God, we also can walk in boldness. We are in the generation where it is even more treacherous, and we as children of God must learn to now become bold. This boldness is not something we walk around and claim to be bold. We got to pray that God will strengthen us. God will bolden us. The Holy Spirit will empower us so that we can stand and speak the word of God with boldness and clarity. Those days are no different from now. Before Jesus left, he gave me and you an assignment. He said, go ye to the nations and preach the gospel. We need to do the preaching. We need to do the work of evangelism. You see, the time whereby children of God keep on saying we are learning and knowing about Jesus has passed. Now it is time for me and you to start walking in accordance to the calling that the Lord Jesus has given to me and you. And we gotta do it with what? Boldness. 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 Are you a bold Christian? What room are you giving to the enemy in your life? You have accepted the Lord Jesus. We are in a period where we are remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has already come to die, and he has resurrected. Amy was saying it today before she started leading us in worship, that our Lord has already come. The Savior has been born, and he has died, and he has given us this opportunity to live for the Lord. Children of God, you need to now start doing the work of the evangelist, as the word of God says. We need to proclaim this good news, this tiding to the whole world and to the whole nation, that the Lord Jesus has come already. He has not just come, he has come to die for me and you, and we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, Christmas, it's all nice. You see all these lights, all this. We have spent a lot of money on this. A lot of energy has gone into this. People have devoted themselves to doing. Christmas is not about this. Christmas is not about the gift I'm looking forward to my wife giving me. I know she gives me good gifts. It is not about that. It is not about that. Even though it is symbolic of the gift that God has given us, it is not about that. It is about remembering that the Savior has been born. The King of Kings has been born. He is no more. Nobody is waiting for the King to come again. He has come already. And when he returns, he is coming in judgment. Remember this. When he returns, he's coming in judgment. The messenger had a message. And this message is worthy of us taking and walking by. Even in this period, we need to remember the messenger's message. And remember that boy called John the Baptist, whose head was chopped off for being a righteous and a holy son of God, who stood and spoke the truth regardless. Herod cut off his head. And I'm telling you, child of God, you have to be ready and prepared, for as Jesus died, as John died, as his disciples died, so he says that we will also be persecuted. Be willing to stand for the truth. Be willing to stand for the truth. Be willing. And so after all this message, the man of God, being Zacharias, asks the angel a question. How do I know this is going to come to pass? How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced. My wife is well advanced in years. You see,
suddenly an angel is standing in front of him. An angel is standing in front of him, telling him what God was going to do in his life. And suddenly he turns to look at his condition, his situation, refusing to accept that God can do extraordinary things in a human being's life. Don't forget who you are dealing with here. We are talking about Zachariah. This is a man who has devoted his whole life to serving God. This is a man that is a priest. He's not just any Christian. He's a priest. He has studied the word of God. During those times, priests were not just any priests. They devote themselves to studying the law of God and living a certain kind of lifestyle only unto God. So he knew and understands the word of God. But when the message came, when the messengers released the message, he said, even as I'm old like this, and my wife is this old, we're going to have children. Give me a sign. Many of us have taken our eyes off who God is. We have forgotten that we serve the great maker, the creator of everything in this world. And what he says will come to pass. We have forgotten that we are serving that God. And so we are always looking at our situations and our conditions, forgetting that God can change it. Don't pay attention to the situation. Pay attention to the Savior, the great God that can change your circumstance. That is what he did. And that upset the angel. I'm telling you, many of us are offending God. And we use this word, I need to be real. I need to speak my heart. Be real. Continue being real. And remain in your trouble and your hustle. Continue being like that. And let the enemy deceive you into remaining in your struggle that he has imposed upon you. Jesus, the word of God says that the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, the work of the devil in me and you's life is to make sure we don't see the glory of God upon our life so that we will curse God. But Jesus came, died, that me and you shall see the glory of God, that we shall testify of the goodness of God, that the mercy of God shall come to us, that we might be able to live for God and honor God. And the Satan doesn't want that. Satan doesn't want this. And so he's always making you feel that your situation is too much for you. It's above you. You can't bear it. You would die. Since you started having your problem, are you dying? Have you died? It is by God's grace you are sitting here. And if you are here today, you must purpose in your heart to believe and to trust him for his word. Believe and be saved. Believe and be transformed. Believe and be delivered. Believe the word of God. Take the Bible. Start reading the Bible. As a doctor giving you a bad news, take the Bible and start studying. Look at the prophecies, the things that God has said he will do in the life of they that believe in him. And hold on to those things. Believe them. Even though they have not come to pass in your life, walk around believing that you are healed. Walk around believing that you are delivered. Walk around believing that that asthma will not catch you anymore. You got to believe it. The word of God says that when we get to the final one, oh my days, the word of God says he was bruised for our iniquities. The curse upon us was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You gotta believe it. Don't just be saying it with your mouth. Like I know some Christians who just say it. Oh, we know the Bible. We quote it all the time. Why isn't the word alive in your life? Why isn't the word alive in your life? Don't make it a head knowledge. Make it a life experience. An encounter with God. I want to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whatever is written in the Bible, I got to believe it. Whether I see it or not, I believe I have a relationship with God. I believe God has done it. My wife will tell you, I don't waste my time. Even her, when she's talking and she starts talking in an unbelieving, I tell her, Talib, my friend, shut up. We are dealing with God here. Keep quiet. You see these empty chairs here? Don't go focusing on the people who have left this church and the emptiness that is here. Oh, the church is dying. I'm telling you. As for me, I don't see empty chairs. I see West Hudson Christian Center rising to fulfill a purpose in this community. And I tell you, watch it and you will see with your eyes how God will start opening these gates and bringing people from the streets. People who will come here and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, devote to Jesus and live for Jesus and go out and win souls for the Lord. So if you have been here for years, comfortable, always, oh, we've heard this so many times. I'm telling you, now you are dealing with a young guy that takes the word of God literally. Me, I went to theological seminary. I argued with so many of my theologians. They will tell you. Call Spurgeon's College and ask them. They will tell you, Kwesi Barnes, that guy is Holy Ghost crazy. I used to argue with lecturers. They'll be like, wow, this guy is passionate for Jesus. You gotta be Bible word crazy. Take the Bible and believe it and walk in it. You see how God did not give up on his promises and it's all come to pass and there are still some yet to come? This God is real. What shall we say? What shall we do for you to believe? The Bible says it. Archaeological references refer to the truths. People have devoted themselves to researching these things and they have found the truth. People have literally died to protect this truth. It's not a lie. Jesus is real. And I'm telling you, if anybody told you it's not real, there is also spiritual encounters. If you haven't started earning for it, start believing God that what the Bible says, as people saw Jesus, you can also see Jesus. You can relate with him spiritually. Child of God, my sermon has come to an end. And I want to encourage you and I to remember this. We live in a treacherous, dangerous days. Don't believe the lie that is going on in our world. There's so much lie that me and you cannot sit down idle anymore. We need to get up. Allow the Spirit of God to work on us. Pray. Wait before God. Take the word of God and walk in the confidence of the word of God. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Anywhere you go, the good news gotta be preached. The good news gotta be preached. Meditate on God's word. Do your devotions. I like this about the Methodist Church. That is why we have Methodist Church. Methodical. That's how it came up. It started with them focusing on practicalities, methods, how to live with God, how to study God. The Bible says, the Bible says, and that's why Methodist Church started. Today we have so many Christians, especially Pentecostal Christians like me and you, who believe in the days in the Holy Ghost. We walk around. Oh, we are all charismatic, all spirit-filled and speaking and doing things, but we are lightweight. Why? Because we don't study the word of God. We don't hold on to God's word. We don't trust him at his word. Something little happens and we start shivering. We start shivering. Child of God,
do the work of the messenger. Spread the good news. The Savior is born. Yeah? Spread the good news.